Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
Hey, it's so good to have all of you with us on our week four, our fourth and final week of our marriage series, and that's how the fight started. And today, we're going to be wrapping things up, talking about financial freedom, because we've learned how, right now, money and money issues is the leading cause of divorce among marriages. And so, to help you, we're going to talk about financial freedom, and these principles apply for us, whether we're married, whether we're single. And so, I just want to encourage you to take notes today on the back of your worship program. We have some notes there. And we're so glad to have all of you here, especially our first-time guests. Also want to welcome those online. It's good to have you with us, and especially if you're with us for the first time, thanks for worshiping with us today. How many realize that Easter is in 4 weeks? Can you believe it? Easter is 4 weeks from now, and I want you to begin to invite somebody. We have a really special service planned and a very special message. The message is called Switch, all right? I'm not going to tell you what it's about, but it's Switch, all right? So come, you don't want to miss it. And then next week, we're starting a new sermon series for Easter, and it's called Let's Party! Yeah, and you say, well, what's that about? Well, it's a surprise, okay? So I guess you could call it a surprise party. So come next week and you'll know what it's all about. The local news one time was interviewing an 80-year-old lady who was preparing to get married for the fourth time. All right, it was the fourth time. And the interviewer was asking her questions about her life, and he came to now about her new husband and asked about his job, and she said, well, he's a funeral director. And he's going, okay, that's a different one. And he says, you know, but tell me about your other three husbands, your previous three husbands. You know, what were they like? What were their jobs? And she says, well, in my early 20s, I married a banker. And then in the 40s, I married a circus ringmaster. In my 60s, I married a preacher. And the reporter was just going, he says, wow, that's so intriguing. He says, you know, such a diverse range of careers, you know, what prompted you to do that? And the elder lady just smiled and replied, well, I married one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. I won't pull the money. Yeah. Get a little Elvis going here. She married the banker for money. And a lot of times people think, you know, if I just have more money, then I would be financially free. I wouldn't have financial problems. All I need is more money to solve my financial issues. What people don't realize is that financial bondage is seldom caused by a lack of money. In your notes this morning, financial bondage is not caused by a lack of money. It is caused by a lack of contentment. Financial bondage is caused by a lack of contentment, because if you get more money, you're just going to spend more money. More money will not solve financial problems. We need greater contentment in our lives. I believe that Jesus wants us to live in financial freedom, because freedom is the reason he came. In John chapter 8, verse 36, Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And in Luke, Jesus quoted Isaiah chapter 61, and Jesus said that one of the reasons he came was to proclaim freedom for the captives. And I know that applies to spiritual freedom, to us being free from sin. But as I look at our lives, I believe Jesus wants to be emotionally free. He wants us to be physically free. He wants to heal us. By his stripes we're healed. He wants us to be mentally free from anxiety and fear and depression and discouragement and anger. He also wants us to be, I believe, financially free. I believe that freedom in every sphere of our lives is a purpose that Jesus came. And so this morning I want to talk about financial freedom. How do we attain financial freedom? Because if we have financial freedom, it's going to give a new lease on our marriage, a new lease of life on our own lives. It's going to change the way we live and act and respond to situations. Now, for us to be financially free, we first need to understand the purpose of money. Because if you don't understand the purpose of something, you won't use it most effectively. Let me illustrate. This morning, I have an object in my hand, all right? If you're watching online, type in what this object is, all right? What is this object? Now, some of you might think, you know, this is a back scratcher. This is a back scratcher. You know what? It does work really good as a back scratcher. I mean, I can reach those places that I can't reach. It's a great back scratcher. You could also think, since there's an electric cord here, it's a fan. You plug it in and turn it on, and it's a fan to keep you cool. Now, how many know that this does not work very well as a fan, right? And here's the thing. You can look at an object and not know its purpose and use it for the wrong purposes, and sometimes those purposes will work really well, like scratching your back, but other times it's not going to work very well. And if we do that with money, if we use money for the wrong purposes, not realizing the purposes God made money for, we're not going to experience the full blessing of a, what is this? It's a mixer. Yeah. And how many of you know that while it makes a good back scratcher, not so great a fan, it best mixes food, right? Cake batters, shredded pulled pork, all that kind of thing. And so you want to know what the purpose of something is so that you can obtain the maximum result and the greatest blessing because of that. So this morning in your notes, we've got 7 purposes for money that we need to understand so that we can maximize the effectiveness of money and experience the blessing that God intended it to be. So this morning, number one, the first purpose of money is to provide for our basic needs. God gave us money to provide for our basic needs. And Matthew, and by the way, these first three purposes are all found in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus taught a lot about money in Matthew 6. And I encourage you today or sometime this week, go home and read Matthew 6 because that has a lot of great principles about money. Jesus said in verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Verse 28, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? God gives us money to feed us, to clothe us. In fact, Paul said, having food and clothing with these, be content. Now, I think you could throw shelter in there too. But there's so many times we have, most of us, have an abundance of so much more than just food, clothing, and shelter. And we don't realize how blessed we are, especially in America. If you're in a third world country, do you realize that usually only the head of the household has a pair of shoes? Only the head of the household, and it's only one pair. How many of you have more than one pair of shoes at home? Raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand who has more than one pair of shoes. I think I see almost everyone except those who are sleeping this morning, okay? Hey, God has blessed us so much, and he gives us money to provide for the basic needs of life. That's the first purpose. Second purpose of money is to reveal lordship. It's to reveal lordship. In Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. That term mammon, it means material wealth. Jesus is saying you can't serve God and material wealth. You can't serve money and riches and serve God at the same time. You see, all we have to do is look at your checkbook, and that will tell us what's important to you. If we see lots of purchases at the mall to clothing stores, we know clothing is important to you. If we see lots of charges at the gun range, we know shooting's important to you. If we see, you know, trips to Aruba, to California, to exotic locations around the world, we know that you like to travel. All we have to do is to look at your finances to see what's important to you. And if you love God or you love wealth and what it can do for you or what it can buy for you, that is revealed by how we spend our money. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. It is easy to put money into something that we enjoy, something that we want, something that we like. We usually don't spend money on stuff we don't like unless we have to do it. For example, how many of you just go up to the dentist and you give money to the dentist because you like your dentist? No, you hate the dentist, but you realize when you have a cavity, okay, then I'll give it to him because I want to be pain-free. I want to enjoy my life. And so that's why you give to the dentist. You put your money into things that are important to you. So money reveals lordship. Money reveals lordship. That's a purpose of money. The third purpose of money this morning is to expand the kingdom of God. It expands God's kingdom. In Matthew 6, verse 19 through 20 and verse 33, Jesus said, "Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. But seek third." Wait, is that? Does that say that? I think I need new glasses. "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." God says seek first, and that's with our time, our talent, and our treasure. Our whole life is to seek God's kingdom first, to build the kingdom. And when we're building the kingdom, when we're investing in eternal causes, in people's lives, in the priorities of God, Jesus said we're laying up treasure in heaven. Story goes how there was a wealthy billionaire who died and went to heaven, and he was a Christian, made it to heaven, gets to the pearly gates, and St. Peter takes him on a tour. And so they begin walking down the streets of gold, and there is this beautiful, exquisite mansion, just huge, like as big as a city block. And the wealthy man goes, "Man, whose place is that?" And he says, "Oh, this is a pastor. He pastored, you know, in a rural church for 30 years, and he was just faithful, and he ministered throughout the community, and he just gave his life for the gospel." And this wealthy businessman was impressed. And they walk a little bit further. They see an even bigger mansion, just more exquisite, gold, precious stones and stuff, just inlaid through everything. It was just brilliant. And the businessman says, "Well, whose mansion is this?" And Peter says, "Well, this is a missionary who served over in Africa, you know, for 50 years. And he gave his life and went to an area where the gospel hadn't been planted, to some people that were just very against him, battled witch doctors and spiritual forces, and eventually planted a church, saw God do incredible things. And they started 20 churches out throughout the villages, saw thousands of people come to Christ, started a Bible school that trained up ministers. And this is his place." They come to another place, and it looked almost as nice as the last one. He says, "Whose is this?" "Well, this is a little old lady who gave her life to Jesus when she was a young girl, and she prayed for missionaries, she prayed for pastors, she spent hours praying, she taught Sunday school, she helped in the food pantry, she just gave her life serving God." And the wealthy businessman seeing all this, and he's getting excited. And they come to, they round the corner, and they come to this little 6x8 tattered wooden shack with a kind of a jagged curtain across the door and a tin roof. And the businessman says, "Well, you know, what's this?" And Peter says, "This is your place." And the businessman's going, "What? What do you mean this is my place? I mean, the pastor got a big mansion, the missionary got a big mansion, the little old lady got a big mansion. What about me?" And St. Peter said, "We did the best with what you sent us." You see, how we live our lives here correlates to the rewards we receive in heaven. We're laying up treasure in heaven. If we build the kingdom here, we're storing up treasures in heaven. And so the fourth purpose of money is to build the kingdom, but there's some people that only build their kingdom, their empire. It's about what they can accumulate here and now, instead of thinking about what can I do to impact people that will affect them for eternity. That's a purpose of money, is to build the kingdom of God. Okay, let's look at the fourth purpose of money, and that is to confirm direction. It's to confirm direction. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, it says, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's great gain if you have godliness and contentment. Notice, not if you have a ton of money, but godliness with contentment. Verse 9, those who would desire to be rich, if you desire to be rich, listen to this warning, they fall into temptation and a snare. Think of a snare, a trap that an animal falls into, and it catches them. And into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but to trust in the living God. Listen to this next part. Who gives us richly all things to enjoy. God wants us to enjoy what we have. But there are some people that are so strapped financially that when they buy something, they can't enjoy it because they're under so much financial pressure that, well, how is this going to affect me in the future? Am I going to be able to make my house payment, my car payment, this payment, that payment? And the thing is, money is supposed to really confirm direction in our lives. One of the greatest protections you and I have as a believer is that when we make a financial purchase, we need to realize that if this purchase is going to put us in a precarious situation financially, or we think about it and it causes anxiety in the future, it's probably not God's will. And so money can confirm direction. If you've been saving and you feel at peace about making this purchase, then you've got direction to do it. But if it causes anxiety, you're in fear that this could cause your finances to topple. It's kind of like the Jenga pile. You know, if I just pull this one thing out, make this one withdrawal, boom, I'm going to topple. That's confirmation. Don't go in that direction financially. Okay, the next purpose of money this morning is to give to Christians in need. Give to Christians in need. We see this in Romans 12, 13. It says, distributing to the needs of the saints. And a great example is in Acts chapter 9 of Tabitha. It says, she went around always doing good and helping the poor. Tabitha died. She died, and all the widows brought the clothing that she had sewn for them. They would have been probably without clothing if she didn't make clothing and provide for the widows. Peter prayed for her, and she was raised from the dead. You know, there's a principle there. When you give to others, it provides life. When you hold and hoard and you don't give, it causes death. All right? God wants us to pass on blessings to help fellow believers in need. That is a purpose of money. And this does not mean that a Christian can be lazy and irresponsible and sit back and think, well, everybody should give me food and give me money to pay my rent. Because the Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, he said, even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So if you want to eat, he says, you got to work. You can't be lazy and expect people to provide for you. This also doesn't mean that you work hard, but you spend your money on the luxuries of life and you neglect your clothing, your food, your house payment, and expect other people to bail you out. You first purchase your basic needs. That's the purpose of money. I've known some people, you know, I go out and I'll buy a $2,000 smartphone. I'm going to get this cable subscription and this subscription, and I'm going to get a new car where there's a $500 a month payment, and I just don't understand why I'm having so much money. I need the church. I need some Christians to help me out here. Downsize in the car, drop a few subscriptions, you know, look at how you can cut. Be responsible with your money. Okay, the next purpose of money, and this is similar to number 5, but it's to help the poor. So it's the poor not just who are Christians, but the poor who are not followers of Jesus Christ. It says in Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord. I love that verse. When you give to the poor, you're lending it to God. Now, if you're lending to God, is God going to fault on his debts? God will pay you back. And last week we learned, when there's a loan, you pay, but you always get interest, right? How many want to get interest from God? Doesn't that seem like a good idea? And so when you give to the poor, you are lending to God, and I believe he will bless you. And it says he will pay back what he has given. So we are to bless the poor and help the poor. And then number 7 is to illustrate God's power while building our faith. It's to illustrate God's power by building our faith. We see this in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Try me now on this, says the Lord of hosts, if I'll not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing such that there is will not be room enough to receive it, and I'll rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Tithing should be done the first thing when you get your check, when it's deposited in your account. It's not the last thing. You don't pay all of your bills and then you tithe. In Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. We put God first, we give to God first, and we trust that as I give God 10%, he's going to expand the 90%. God can do more with 90 than I can do with 10, because as we learned last week, God owns it all. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And so when we tithe and give offerings, like when we give to our missionaries so that our missionaries can go around the world, when we help the poor, when we maybe support some special projects here at the church, you're going to be hearing about a project that we want to help with in France with Manny and Tina Providas a few weeks from now, helping a church that is crammed it with 100 people in a small building. They've purchased a new building. They're turning it into their sanctuary, and they'll be able to fit 300 people in there once it's renovated. We're going to help with that. It's a special project coming up. But when we build the kingdom of God and we do this, we see God's power. And here's the thing. When I have tithed, I have seen God provide for all my needs. If you've been here for any length of time, you've heard about me share how God convicted me about not tithing on my health insurance. And when I said I couldn't afford it, our family's health went downhill. We got sick, there was weird freak injuries, and we paid out hundreds of dollars in medical bills. And when God revealed to me that I was saying no to tithing on my health insurance, when I figured up how much I spent on medical bills and how much the tithe would have been on my health insurance, I paid $2,000 more in medical bills above my tithe. Yeah. You see, this verse, when it talks about when you don't tithe, you put yourself under a curse. God doesn't rebuke the devourer. It really happens. But when you do tithe, and that doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire, you're going to drive fancy cars, because we need to follow all of God's financial principles. We'll see that in a moment. But when we tithe, that is the gateway to opening God's blessings upon our lives. He rebukes the devourer from our life, and it builds our faith. When we see God can do more with 90 than I can do with 100%, it builds your faith, and you see how God supernaturally meets your needs. I've experienced it in my own life. Those are the 7 purposes of financial freedom. All right? The 7 purposes of money, excuse me. And this morning, I just want to ask you, which purpose or purposes are new to you? Which ones, as you look at that list, you'd say, you know, I never really thought of that. I'm not doing that. I'm not giving that. If you're watching online this morning, and you want to just type in your response, which purpose is new to you? We need to realize these purposes, because only when you do that can you really start to mix it up and experience the full blessing and impact of money in your life. Okay, how do we get financial freedom. How do we become financially free? And before we talk about that, very quickly in your notes, we explain what financial freedom is, because sometimes we don't understand it. There's a number of things. First of all, financial freedom means we're free from debt. We do not owe more than what we have in cash or assets, and not having any bills past due. We give you some scriptures. You can look those up on your own. It's being free from financial pressure. Fear of an unexpected expense, because every dollar is closely budgeted to meet past or present obligations. You want to have financial margin. That's financial freedom. You don't want that pressure. Letter C, loving money. Your goal is not getting rich. We just read about how when you desire to get rich, it drowns you in destruction and perdition. It's a snare. It goes on to say in that chapter of 1 Timothy 6 that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. If you love money, you're going to find yourself doing some things you never thought you would do before when it comes to God and righteousness. Letter D, it frees you from business entanglement. I know some people, they're so focused on making money, they don't have any time for God. So we want to be free from that, so we do have time for God. You're free from get rich quick schemes, and also free from the guilt of financial unfairness. You want to lessen the possibility of anyone pointing a finger at you saying, you were unfair, you cheated me, you robbed me, you ripped me off in a financial business dealing. Because that impacts our testimony. You know, it's unfortunate, but I have known some Christians, they're some of the biggest crooks, and they rip people off. If we want to influence our radius, we need to be people of integrity. And when you look at those seven purposes of money, those purposes of money help us to effectively influence our radius for Jesus Christ. Okay, let's get into financial freedom. How many of you have a little car that has a four-cylinder engine? Anyone? Some of you do. I do. Okay. If only one of those cylinders stops working, what happens to the performance of the car? It's going to go downhill. And the more cylinders that don't work, the deeper weeds you're in, all right? The worse the performance, okay? In your notes, and by the way, open up your worship program, okay? Inside, we have a three-cylinder engine, okay? This is a three-cylinder engine for financial freedom. There are three cylinders that need to be working in our life for us to be financially free. The first cylinder there on the left, number one, if you're taking notes, is giving. Giving. Giving needs to be established in our life. When we're in a financial bind, one of the first things to go is giving. Well, I can't afford to give to God. I can't afford to give my missions faith promise. I can't afford to help the needy, the poor. I can't look out for that. I've got to look out for myself. We need to trust God that God is in control. It says in Proverbs 11:25, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Because you see, God says that we are stewards. We're not the owners who hold it all. We're just stewards that manage it. We are rivers for his blessings to flow through, not reservoirs that hold and hoard the blessings of God. We're conduits that pour out the blessing instead of containers that keep the blessing. God intended us to give because that's the very nature of God. What's the most popular Bible verse in the world that you see at NFL football games in the stands? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Giving is the nature of God. And so Christians, we're supposed to be some of the most giving people because that's God's nature and that's the nature he wants us to have. Some people say, you know, man, can I really... I don't have enough money. I can't give. I can't help. Here's the thing. Giving is not a financial problem. It's a trust problem. Do you really trust God that he is capable? We sang about this morning. He makes highways through the seas. He's resurrected the dead. He does all these miracles. Well, then do you believe God can do more with 90 than you can do with 100? It's all about trusting God with everything in our life. It reveals that lordship. And so giving is vitally important. You say, I've had someone say, well, Craig, do I tithe on the gross or the net? And I say, what do you want to be blessed on, the gross or the net? You decide, all right? Okay, let's go on. The second cylinder this morning is receiving. And under receiving, it's receiving through diligent labor. We need to work hard. Maybe some of us, we'd realize our job, while we enjoy it, it's not paying the bills. So maybe we need to find a job for a period of time, even if we don't like it, but we've got to be responsible and make ends meet and then look for a job that combines adequate pay with something we like to do. That's the best thing to do, is to find a job that you love and that you will provide for you. But hear me, if you're in a job that is not providing for you, don't just sit there and stay in a bad place. Find a better job, okay? So be diligent in a good job. Something else is we can receive through creative resourcefulness. Maybe you heard the story about Kyle MacDonald, who was sitting at his office one day, and he was having some financial problems, and he really wanted a house, and he says, what do I have in front of me? He had a red paper clip. So he goes online, and he starts trading his paper clip, and in the course of 1 year, with 14 trade-ups, he traded a red paper clip for a two-story farmhouse. True story. You can read about it. I mean, he traded it for like a pen that was in the shape of a fish. He traded that for a door handle with the face on it, which he traded. I mean, just some weird things, a Coleman cook stove, a bunch of different things he traded for, even a role in a movie. He just traded up. He built it up. And maybe God can give you some creative resourcefulness to receive something. Maybe you have something you're not using. You can trade it online through Facebook. Or you just find different ways to trade things that you have that you're not using and how you can trade up. All right? Something else you can do to receive is to pray. If you have a need, pray that God would help you meet that. How many have experienced God meeting a financial need? You needed something and God provided. Many of you have. Pray when you have a need, all right? The third cylinder there is managing our money. This is where we look out for the best buys. We also have to build sales resistance, because I know some people, maybe they want a certain item, and the first one they find, they go out and they buy it. And maybe it's not the best deal. Maybe you can get something that's twice as better for half the cost or something. So you need to be diligent. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5, the plans of the diligent lead surely to plenty, but those of everyone who is hasty surely to poverty. If you're impulsive and make hasty financial decisions, it's going to lead to poverty. So be wise. Make wise planning. Look for the best deals. My wife and I shared last week how we did not make a whole lot when we first started out in ministry. And when we had kids come along, it was even more difficult. We didn't have a lot of money for clothes, so you know what my wife did? She went rummage sailing. And God would give us some name brand clothes that you would spend like $30 for Gap baby jeans or things like that. You know, other jeans as they got older. Super nice clothes that looked like they were brand new for a quarter or a couple of bucks. God can do that for you. He can provide. Look for the best buys. It might take a little work, but God can do things and bless you abundantly. Something else about managing your money there on the diagram is be prompt in paying for your bills. If you can't pay for it up front, then don't buy it. Now, you can buy it on a credit card if you've got the money to pay for it at the end. In fact, I do that with a lot of things because I get back 2.5%. What's in your wallet, okay? But I make sure that I've got the money to cover it. Then when I use it for gas or whatever, we kind of use an envelope system where we get cash and we kind of got budget how much we're going to use for food and cash. When we buy it, then we take it out of the envelope, go deposit it in the bank, so boom, we know it's covered. Make sure that you can pay your bills up front. Be diligent. Friends, as a Christian, nothing destroys your testimony quicker than Christians who don't pay their bills. It'll ruin your influence. It'll ruin your radius. You can't influence people for Christ. Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave." Credit card debt, we talked about this last week, but credit card debt can leave you feeling like a slave. And if you're in credit card debt, I want to encourage you to do everything you can to get out of it. There's a new stimulus package coming out. Everyone's getting $1,400 a piece, all right? If you've got some credit card debt, maybe pay that down. Say you've only got $2,000 and you've got three or four in your family. Pay off that debt of one card, and if you've got another card, then start paying extra money to that. Just keep rolling over the payments. What you used to pay, you know, $100 a month here, I'm now going to tack that $100 on to this credit card. Start with the ones that have the highest interest. Maybe try to consolidate all your debt for a lower interest rate. Try to be savvy, but manage your money well and try to pay all of your bills. Stay out of debt as much as possible. This also is where budgeting comes in. We talked about that last week, establishing priorities and values. And there are some resources I want to give you to help you in budgeting. This is a book that's over 30 years old. It's the Larry Burkett Financial Planning Workbook. This is a book Rebecca and I use, and it is invaluable. It has a monthly budgeting form that we still use to this day. And some of you say, well, I'm not good on putting stuff on paper. If you like Excel spreadsheets, I have taken that money form, created it into an Excel document, and when you put the numbers in, it will automatically tally it up and calculate your expenses. So you can put your income in on top, put in all your expenses, and on the bottom it tells you if you're short or long and what you need to do. If we could show the slide on the screen, if you want that Excel spreadsheet so you can start budgeting, just contact the church office through our email. It's contact@radiuschurch.life. We'll email you that document, all right? So you've got that there. You can utilize that. Another great thing to do is to participate in a Dave Ramsey seminar, a Dave Ramsey class. Dave Ramsey has helped many people obtain financial freedom. Okay, and then the last bullet point under managing your money is saving. Saving money is key. And I remember when Rebecca and I first started out, like I said, we didn't have a lot of money. We would make our budget, and we knew we had to put some stuff in savings, and we weren't putting in a whole lot. It wasn't what the financial gurus were saying, because we had all these different needs, and yet that's what we were doing. And there was times my wife would cry because how bad the budget looked. And it was like, man, this is horrible, and I'm feeling bad, and I'm ticked off. And it's like, but you know what? It would have been easy to say, ah, just forget it. We're just going to do this. But we stuck to the plan, and we prayed, and God has provided for us. God expanded our money. We always had food on the table. Our kids always had clothes. We've always had a vehicle, and I've never had a car payment. In over 30 years of marriage, I've always paid cash for a car. I've saved it. And it is so great to live in financial freedom. But the road sometimes is really tough. It might feel a little rocky or even sometimes washed out. And I just want to encourage you, maybe some of you here today, you're struggling financially. I want you to begin to commit yourself to this three-cylinder engine. And here's the thing. I've seen families that do just a few of these principles, but they don't do all of them under giving, receiving, and managing. And their car doesn't go. They struggle. That's because not all the cylinders are going, are working. And so last week we said, if you want your finances to be in order, you've got to follow God's order for finances. And I just want to encourage you, take these principles that we've been sharing the last couple of weeks and begin to pray and say, God, show me, what do I need to get in order in my life financially? And then stick with it. Don't grow weary in well-doing, for in due season you will reap a harvest. I'd like everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. Father God, I thank you for this study on marriage that we have had the past few weeks, and particularly money. And I pray right now that you will help us with money. I pray for couples that are struggling with money. They see it differently. I pray for greater unity and intimacy between husbands and wives in this area and in their entire marriage. I pray for singles that are struggling. God, I pray for a blessing, a breakthrough. Bring not just provision, but the obedience that produces the provision. Obedience to your order. This morning, I just want to ask how many of you, as you look at these three cylinders of the engine to financial freedom, you would recognize that there is something off. You need to get something working in your life financially. Maybe it's in the area of giving. You're not tithing. You're not giving offerings. You're not looking at how you can help. But you just say, I need God to do a work in that area. I need to surrender my life in the area of giving. Just put your hand up. Thank you for your honesty. That's great. Maybe for some of you, it's in the area of receiving. Maybe you need a job. Maybe you lost your job in COVID. Maybe you need a better job and you just need a breakthrough. You need God to provide. Maybe you hate your job, but you're doing it. You're saying, God, open something up. Maybe it's a job that really takes away from your family life. It takes away from your time with God, and you're just exhausted, and you need God to give you a breakthrough. Maybe you need resourcefulness, or maybe you're just dealing with laziness. If there's some area of the receiving cylinder that you need God to give you a breakthrough on, would you just raise your hand this morning? Thank you. That's great. And last of all, how many would say, when it comes to money management, this last area, I really need God to help me there? Maybe you're impulsive. Maybe you don't look out for the best buy. Maybe you're not budgeting. Maybe you're in a lot of debt and you just have a spending frenzy and you have difficulty and you want God to help you be a better money manager. Would you raise your hand this morning? Thanks for your honesty. As we wrap things up, what I'd like to do today, I'm just going to ask, how many of you want to be financially blessed? You want God to open the windows of heaven and pour out a financial blessing that you can't contain? If that's you, I want you to stand your feet. And maybe, and this is no respecter of persons, maybe you've got a mountain of debt, maybe you've got no debt, it doesn't matter. Maybe you've got a ton of money in savings, maybe you only have a penny in savings, but if you want God to bless you financially, I want you to stand your feet this morning because I want to pray for you today, all right? I want you to lift your hands to heaven. I want you to form like a conduit. Say, God, here I am. I'm not closing off. I'm not holding and hoarding, but I'm opening myself up to be your reservoir, your river, not your reservoir. Father God, I come to you today, and I pray for every person that's standing this morning. God, I pray for those at home that have their hands raised that saying, God, I need your blessing. Jesus, there are some people here, they don't know how they're going to make it. Maybe they've fallen into financial hardship through their own fault or no fault of their own. Regardless, God, you can do a miracle. Lord, you say if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask of God and you'll provide it. Begin to give them the steps. God, as they look at giving, receiving, managing, God, I pray you would show them the next thing to do. God, I pray that you would bless them. And I thank you that the wisdom you give is generous. It's not meager. Lord, I pray you'd begin to transform our lives. Help us to see money the way you see it. Help us to know the purposes and to use it to build your kingdom. Jesus, we're going to trust you with our lives. We're going to obey your order when it comes to finances. Father God, we're going to give ourselves to you to be a blessing to others and trust that you're going to bless us. God, I ask for discipline for those that struggle with it. God, that when they think about buying something, with clicking it online or picking it up in the store, your spirit would speak to them and they would stop, they would listen, they would see if there's anxiety, they would see if you're giving them a check. Lord, I pray for those who have been saving. God, they have been budgeting. They've been doing the right thing, but they just can't get ahead. Right now, in the name of Jesus, open the windows of heaven. God, as we submit ourselves to your lordship, and I pray that you will abundantly bless, not so that we can heap up riches, God, but so that we can build your kingdom. We can influence our radius. We can impact our city and our community with the love of Jesus. God, help us to be a blessing. Use us, oh God.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.